Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingola Consulting in collaboration with Stericycle Communication Solutions. Cingola Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by a healthcare organization. Our mission is to help organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. Stericycle Communication Solutions is a service of Stericycle Incorporated and is the industry-leading communication solution provider for inbound, outbound, and automated call center communications. Today, we bring together industry leaders on air to engage in conversations about their patient experience with a focus on the developments, integration, and optimizations in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
And hello to everyone, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Fran Horner, and I'm the co-founder of Cingola Consulting and today's host of Experience Health Radio. We're excited to share with our audience our experiences and the experiences of our guests every week on demand through our website and downloaded through iTunes. And today we've got a great topic. It's about population health and the patient experience and how they are the perfect pair. You know, population health has arrived on the healthcare scenes, and you know, if we're smart, and we are, we'll make sure it's here to stay. Because it's a proactive approach to healthcare that looks at the entire population of patients and not only the ones walking in the door. Population health has that ability to help healthcare really transform that fee for service and move towards pay for value. And quite frankly, just in the nick of time. So joining us today is Susan Marks from Amati Health. She's here to talk to us about why it's smart to move towards population health, what an effective strategy looks like, and how it benefits both healthcare organizations and the patient experience. And let me introduce Susan. She's the director of population health at Amati. I'm sorry, the population health at Amati Health. And she really is an expert in this area. She has over 25 years of experience in population health, clinical operations, and healthcare IT implementations. Susan began her population health focus while working at Kaiser Permanente and then at Epic Systems and later at the University of Wisconsin Health. And while directing UW Health's population health programs, she implemented a centralized complex case management program and prevention outreach program and a clinical-based RN care coordination program. You know, she has a master's of science in nursing from UW-Madison. And without further ado, let's welcome Susan to the show. Susan, we're so excited to have you here.
Thanks, Fran, and I'm really glad to be talking about this topic that I know both you and I feel very passionate about.
Yes, we do. You know, if anybody knows population health, Susan, it's you, and that's why we've invited you to be a guest on our show. I know that our audience is very interested in it, but maybe you could set the stage for us. Is population health the inevitable next step for healthcare?
Well, that's a great question, Fran. I certainly think it is the necessary next step for healthcare. And I'm really encouraged by a couple of developments of late, namely that the Supreme Court challenges for the Affordable Care Act have been settled. So I think those people who were skeptical about whether or not the Affordable Care Act was going to stay or not, that question has been answered. The other thing is I think we're seeing increasing movement from Medicare towards moving to more value-based payments and making their payments directed more towards quality of care rather than just quantity of care. And I think, you know, where Medicare goes in terms of reimbursement strategies, the rest of the American healthcare system tends to follow.
So, you know, maybe I should back you up a little bit. Talk a little bit more about population health and what it means to you. How is it defined? And how would we even start to talk about it? How do you open that dialogue?
Well, I think, you know, population health has been around for a number of decades as a strategy. But I think until the last 15 or so years, it was really over in the academic arena. And in those last 15 years, it started to move its way over into healthcare thinking in general. Population health is really a very proactive, big view of looking at who is your population. And so in the public sector, that would be all of, let's say, the American citizens. But as a healthcare organization, it's who are the people that I'm responsible for taking care of. And so it is a strategy of, as you say, defining who is that population or identifying them, and then stratifying them into risk groups. So who's at highest risk, highest cost, who's at lower risk and lower cost, but maybe opportunities to get in and do some prevention work that would keep them from becoming high risk and high cost. Then engaging your patients so that you find them where they are, meet them where they're at, and have ways of incorporating them into the healthcare strategies. Your set of interventions, what are the clinical care practices that you want to use to improve their health or work with patients to improve them, and then just measuring that all. And that's what we've sort of defined at Amati Health as being the five-step structured approach to looking at a population health and creating a population health program.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, why would a healthcare organization consider implementing it as a strategy to manage its patients? What's the benefit for both the organization as well as the patient?
Well, that it's interesting because I always think of what's the benefit for the patient first, and to use, you know, a teen phrase, it's kind of like a duh in that it's a better way to organize and provide care for patients from a patient perspective. So from an organizational perspective as a healthcare organization, as we're moving more and more into paying for value rather than for volume, so paying for how well an organization does things for patients, both from a patient experience perspective and from a clinical outcome perspective, this is the strategy to use towards being able to thrive in that payment for value rather than payment for volume.
You know, I can tell you that in some conversations I've had, especially maybe not at the senior level, but as I get further down in the organization, I don't think that some of the clinicals understand the difference between public health and population health. In fact, you know, there really does seem to be a disconnect there. Anything you can provide us that helps us understand the nuances of that?
Sure. I think part of it is because of the history of population health really sort of being over in that public health, public sector kind of domain. I think that clinicians have grown up in a world where they are in their place, and the patients come and demand services from them, be that they come to the clinic, they come to the emergency room, they're admitted, or they're on their phone with incoming calls to nurse triage. And I think there's a big need for healthcare organizations, both at the senior leadership level, at the director level, and at the rank and file clinician level, to understand what population health is, what that means for their practice, and why this change is underway. I think one of the questions I frequently get from clinicians is a worry and a concern that their payments, their reimbursements, are going to be tied not only to what they do for and with their patients, but well, how well their patients follow along. And some will say, you know, so if my diabetic patient doesn't follow their diet and take their insulin and, you know, maintain their exercise and their weight, why is that going to be reflected in what I am paid? And I think that just sort of reinforces the need to have really strong partnerships with patients, their caregivers, and their communities, so that what we believe is in their best interest from a healthcare management perspective can be made meaningful and relevant to those patients' lives.
Yeah, you hit it on all points. You know, we're always telling our clients that the patient should be at the center of every decision that's made. So how do patients benefit from a population health strategy?
Well, I think they benefit sort of in two different kinds of ways, Fran. So, you know, part of the population health is this dichotomy of, on the one hand, looking out at all of your patients. So let's say I'm responsible in my organization for 100,000 patients. So part of my day, part of my planning is looking out at those 100,000 patients and understanding them and their risk and their stratification and what they need and their costs and all of those things. But then from that, I need to then say, okay, so these are the 20 patients I need to reach out to today. And so going through that exercise may mean I may find and identify some patients that previously wouldn't have been found and identified. They're out there sort of in the wild, living their lives, not knowing they're at risk, not knowing they need a mammogram, all of those kinds of things. So I think those patients would benefit from my finding them and letting them know there's care that they can benefit from. On the other hand, those 20 individuals, so now I sort of zoom back in on the 20 individuals, they're on my work list that I need to reach out to today or this week because they're missing follow-up after they've been discharged from the hospital, let's just say. But on that same list in a population health view, I also know that they need a mammogram and that they need a flu shot and that they need some follow-up for their hypertension. So when I reach out to that patient, I've got a much more comprehensive view of what we in the healthcare organization know can and should be offered to that patient. So from a patient's perspective, I think they go, wow, my healthcare organization is really organized and has this all together, and they really can streamline and be efficient with using my time. I think the alternate experience, I'd like to say the patient gets the call on Monday because they're due for a flu shot, on Tuesday because they need a mammogram, on Wednesday because they need some follow-up for their diabetes, and on Thursday they'd say, you know, is anybody organized over there in that healthcare organization? So I think this organized approach is respectful of the patient's time and also embodies trust in that patient's understanding of how the healthcare organization is really there as their organized, coordinated partner.
You know, Susan, you and I have been having discussions about the pairing of patient experience and population health. And in fact, we are exploring writing a joint paper on how a contact center can help actually support the goals of population health. But I think what we found working together is there's still some misconcepts about population health or ways that organizations misunderstand it when they're forming those new strategies. What can you offer? What should they keep in mind about programs? And how do they get past those things?
Well, I think, you know, we talked a little bit about, I think there's just this need, and I've been exploring with some other partners about, could we or should we or, you know, is there a need in the world for some just sort of core population health educational programs to improve the understanding and competencies of people working in healthcare organizations? So I think that is certainly one strategy. But even for healthcare organizations and clinicians who kind of understand what population health is, it can be really overwhelming. So, you know, I've got those 100,000 people and 80,000 of them have been in the organization. That means 27 haven't. Where do I start? And I think what we can do, you know, in our work, Fran, you and I, when we touch organizations, is to sort of say, well, let's just find some logical next steps. And most healthcare organizations are doing something around post-discharge readmission risk reduction. And so we can help streamline that process. I know you and your work with the Omni Center call or contact centers have been able to provide strategies and resources to do that work, because a lot of these strategies are what I'd like to call net new work. There haven't been people in the organization that have been dedicated to doing this work before. People need to learn to do it, and then there needs to be time and effort and energy, hours spent each week doing this. And I think if you can take this on in a step-by-step fashion so that while you're on the phone with the high-risk patients who've been discharged and look like they're at risk for readmission, just incorporating, adding in one more of their care gaps to it, and just maybe focusing on a certain sector of your population, let's just say the 60 and above, or the people with congestive heart failure and pneumonia or something, just to kind of, you know, almost baby step in so that you're expanding slowly your reach into that big 100,000 population and you're building some competencies and some successes along the way. And I think that if we can help organizations break that down into those sort of sequential steps, I think it just becomes less overwhelming for them.
You know, you bring up a good point because we've seen that with our clients too, especially with discharge strategies. And it does help them begin to break that down because you can't swallow that elephant whole. It's just too big. But I also think it's important to start talking about analytics because in order to stratify your patient base and really understand how to focus on that group, you have to use the data. And in some cases, I think the data is actually getting in the way of medicine. Have you seen that as well?
I have. I mean, I think that, you know, we've been creating exponentially larger numbers of clinical data, particularly since there's so many EMRs in place, and hallelujah to that. But now the challenge is to organize that data into meaningful ways, really make it translate it from data into information. And I think the predictive analytic tools that are out there, some of them are very good and they're getting better at a very fast pace. And I think organizations are wise to think about incorporating that sooner rather than later. So I think when you and I've talked, a hospital might have, you know, 100 patients that were discharged yesterday. All of them don't need a discharge follow-up call to prevent readmission risk or to make sure that their outpatient plan is secure. We could argue that they might benefit from that from a PR perspective or a patient experience perspective. But again, in just trying to focus effort and energy where we're going to see most value in terms of improving clinical outcomes and decreasing clinical costs, you need to figure out which of those 100 patients are really at risk for readmission. And there's some things you can do with that without having predictive analytics, but you're still not going to get that down as narrow as you can. And given that it may take 30 to 45 minutes of total effort to do that discharge follow-up call in a meaningful way, find the patient, get them at home, you know, review the chart, ask the questions and all those kinds of things, you can't afford to spend that on the patients who really don't need that. And that's where predictive analytics come into place.
Yeah, both predictive analytics, and I think that's what partners well with contact center technologies that are able to really leverage the technology to do the outreach in an effective manner that connects the nurse who's making that discharge call only when she gets a live voice, only when she's really got the patient on the phone. Because in fairness, you're right. I mean, a 30-minute call, you can't dial every one of your discharges. So from an operational perspective, you can certainly look at it and say, let's reach those that, you know, need the most help. And let's make sure that we do our touch point, maybe electronically, you know, so that we can at least do the outreach. You're right, because there is a political piece of this, and there is a piece of community health that still needs to be addressed on all discharges. But I think, you know, like anything, we're learning a lot about health, population health and how technology can help us. But why do you think healthcare has been so late to the party? I mean, relatively speaking, in terms of widespread adoption of population health strategies.
Well, I think it's they haven't had to. You know, quite frankly, there, you know, although we've heard a lot about cost containment and worries about the reimbursements not coming in, healthcare spending continues to increase. And so healthcare organizations have been paid well for doing things the old way. And, it, you know, change is hard. And I think until recently, there hasn't been that real solid belief that the reimbursement methodologies are going to change. And like I said at the beginning, I think that now we've really have good reason to believe that actually is going to happen. With the Medicare payments, every healthcare organization today is already in a fee-for-value play with their Medicare patients, and that's going to increase. So I'm hoping that this is actually just the right time, that the disbelief should have decreased significantly, the openness to looking at doing things in a different way, the improvement of technology applied to healthcare. I think a lot of, you know, the consumer-based analytics, which we're all living with every time we're on Google or on Amazon, you can see the evidence of those analytics at play. And as those type of analytics are brought into the healthcare world, and there's some early tests of change out there, I think that certainly is ripening the time to make these changes and start this work today. Hi, Fred.
Okay. Hi. So I was asking you, how do you bring the people to the table? So you've got the clinician side of the house that's really wanting to take care of their patients, especially those, you know, of high risk. So you've got your leadership who's trying to implement cost-effective strategies to address health disparities, and there's a number of different ways to approach that. How do you bring them all to the table so that you can have that great discussion and put that strategy together in which everyone feels comfortable in the health outcome?
Well, I think that there's small ways to do that, and there's large ways to do that. So a small way would be every time you or I and our colleagues are in conversations with healthcare organizations and clinicians, it would be listening for some of those terms or those buzzwords that suggest they've got some openness to this concept. And that could be complex case management, chronic disease management, total transitional care management, which is one of the Medicare payment strategies, patient experience, prevention, HEDIS. A lot of those things are all tied in through population health strategies. And to say when an organization brings up one of those words, to say, oh, you know, that sounds like that might be part of your population health strategy. Do you have a population health strategy, or how comfortable are you in your organization with thinking about how to incorporate population health into your organization? You and I talked about they've got, most healthcare organizations have dozens, if not hundreds, of other projects going on. Looking at those projects, like a call center improvement project, and saying, do you know that you could use your call center work that you're already doing today and looking at improving for tomorrow to incorporate some things that would help you with your population health approach or strategy? So that would be kind of, I think, what I would call the small way of sidling in through the side door. The other would be to just frankly say, you know, is your organization interested in having a big conversation about where you're at with population health today? Do you have a roadmap from getting where you are today to where you know you need to be in 2 or 3 years, or to developing a vision for where you need to be in 2 or 3 years? And then just working with them to do some strategic planning.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, Susan, we're approaching the end of our time today, and you've shared so many of your thoughts. Any final thoughts for our audience as we bring this great show to a close?
I think I just want to, you know, reiterate one more time how useful and approachable a population health strategy is for healthcare organizations, and that they can do it. And it, like every other journey, is one step at a time. And, you know, I know both you and I, Fran, would be happy to help anyone figure out what would that next step be that they can take, just like we ask our patients to do the one next step towards improving their health.
Oh, thanks so much, Susan. It's been so great having you. I thank you so much for being on the show.
I've really enjoyed it, Fran.
Thank you. And, you know, today's Population Health Outcomes is really talking about how healthcare professionals partner with populations to improve the health by promoting not only health, but preventing disease and addressing some health inequities. And surely this conversation hopefully invokes some ideas that leadership strategies can use for outcomes to impact safety, cost, and clinical outcomes. That will conclude our show for today. And though we have plenty more information for you on our website at singolaconsulting.com, and check out our blog and articles we've posted from other industry leaders. As always, tweet us at Singola, C-O-N-S-L-T, if you'd like to continue the conversation. And we'll talk with you soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at singolaconsulting.com and stericyclecommunications.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize your investments. Remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.